sometimes we take our freedoms for granted as though they can't be lost. They can't be maintained accidentally or protected casually. They have been preserved with the spirit of sacrifice by the blood of America's sons and daughters who have dug the trenches, stormed the beaches, flown the missions, nursed the wounds, and endured the hardships. Every generation must be reminded of the debt we owe to those who have fought for what we enjoy. Every generation must step forward to fight for those who will follow. Every American must pause to salute the men and women who have defended and continue to defend the freedoms we hold dear. If you are a veteran or are the spouse of an active service member, we ask that you would please stand as we honor your branch of service today.
Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Marine.
Okay, you can sit down. Now we'll do it slower for you.
America!
Here we go.
Army! Over here, over there, we are kids in the next return, and those kids on go rolling along. In and out, hear them shout, counter marching all about, and those kids on go rolling along. For it's high, high, he is a field artillery. Count out your numbers, roll and stroll. 2, 3, 4, up.
Coast Guard.
The unique spirit that has always marked the mind, heart, and soul of America began with the pilgrims who came here with a sense of divine purpose. The belief that God had set aside this place and this people as a light for the searching and a haven for the oppressed. Puritan leader John Winthrop wrote, "We are a company professing ourselves fellow members of Christ, knit together by this band of love. We are entered into covenant with him for this work. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us." If there is a patriot anywhere who doesn't thrill to see the American flag waving in the wind, those colors, the red, white, and blue, have come to mean something sacred to all who love this nation. We can't see the red without being reminded of the courage of patriots and the cost of our freedom. The white reminds us of the purity that our land needs, a purity that can make us great. Blue, the color of loyalty and of justice, inspire us to be true to the legacies that we've been given and to work not only to preserve it, but to share it with others around us. White and blue, Old Glory is still a grand old flag.
Thank you.
Scripture has always led us, faith has strengthened us, and prayer has been our greatest resource. Yet today, some want us to ignore or even disown this great spiritual legacy. It's time to stand boldly and echo the words of Patrick Henry. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's time to remember that we'll survive only through and by the mercy of God. Let us never neglect to bow humbly and pray for God's intervention in the affairs of the United States of America. Let us be just as diligent to surrender our personal lives to Him. On the screen above, we have a Christian pledge for our Christian flag. Let's say that together. If you want to stand up, I guess it's tradition to have our hand on our heart just as well. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Yes. So whether we're facing good times or tough times, Americans are a people who cherish the blessings of liberty. Because we enjoy these blessings every day we live, we take great pride in saying, America is my country. And we'll never stop asking God to make it a nation we ought to honor for all that He has given us.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank the Lord above that I'm living here today. But the facts do stand and freedom, and I can't take that away.
And I'm
an emotional song, isn't it? Okay. Well, I have asked today for some different service members to come and share a little bit with us this morning. So at this time, I would like to introduce Master Sergeant Timothy and Tech Sergeant Rebecca Wood from the Air Force Air Mobility Command Unit at McCord Air Force Base. They need to... We'll dismiss the choir quickly here, so don't share until they're off. I don't want to distract them. Okay, go ahead, you guys. We'll just be quiet.
Good morning. I'm Tim Wood. It's my wife, Rebecca. I'll give you a little background on us. We've been here at McCord Air Force Base for about 2.5 years. Came in from Nebraska. I've been in about 20 years, you know, just over 20, and it's a nice feeling when you go over 20, you're retirement eligible. So my wife, she's been in 10 years. We've got 4 kids, and it's never a dull moment in our household, that's for sure. So, here's my wife, Rebecca.
I started coming here in January of 2008. He was deployed, and I was pulling my hair out with the kids at home by myself. And realized that something was missing, and it was God in my life. We PCS a lot being in the military, and it's very hard to find good church homes, good people you can trust. But I have Norma and Jeanette, who are my co-workers and members of the church here. So they've kind of guided me to where I needed to be. So I'm going to get emotional, and I've got the Spirit on me, so I'm shaking. Well, when I got here, everybody was warm and welcoming, and it was great for my kids and great for me. Got me through the deployment with Tim gone. Next rotation, I was out the door. So it was him being left alone with the kids and me out the door for the first time deploying. So I was in Kuwait for 4 months. That was a good wake-up call for me to be taking care of myself and my relationship with Christ. I didn't have kids and cooking and cleaning and things to take care of at work. It was just me and God, and we bonded. I had my room to myself, which was a blessing because nobody had your own room in Kuwait. So for the first 2.5, 3 months, I had a lot of time to grow and get strong, and I was witnessing to a lot of people. And I'm not the type of person that goes out of my way to bombard people with information, but they were there. I could tell they were in need of it. They were hungry for it. So I kind of shared what I knew. I got a roommate the last month and a half I was there, and she's a non-believer. And I had many, many, many hours of just staying up late at night talking to her about why she doesn't believe and why I do believe. And she took a lot of notes. She was a writer. So hopefully she took down the good notes. I did recommend a book to her. Kenneth E. Hagin saved me while I was there. I read a lot of Kenneth E. Hagin. Norma and her mother had sent me some books to read while I was there. So that was one of them. Hopefully she's stewing on that. And I did plant a seed. Hopefully she's watering that. There was an airman there that was from McCord, but he went with us. He was having marital issues, very young couple, 20 years old, and there was some pornography addictions and losing identity issues. You know, they thought, oh, if I'm married to you, I'm not myself anymore. So there was a lot of verbal abuse going on, anger going on. So I prayed with him and guided him, got him a Bible for his birthday, you know. Had a lot of heart-to-heart talks with him. When I got back from the deployment, I hear that they are going through with the divorce. So, hopefully it'll still be working in his heart that I did speak to him about that and hopefully bond him with some relationship with Christ. Let's see. Sorry, you have to check my time. I don't want to stay up here too long. I could go on all day. There was an airman that was very bitter, emotional, anything that was happening to him must be happening to everybody because everybody had to hear it. It was a very negative behavior that was going on with this airman. So I'm going to ask my husband to read Ephesians 4:29 was the verse that I passed on to him as well as the other airman that was having marital issues. So I pass it to you to read.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
So that was one that I, when I read it, and I told him, I said, you know what, I read this verse the other night, and I thought of you, I got to share it with you. So, you know, like I said, they're probably not thinking about it, but I did plant that seed, and that's how I sleep at night. There was a father who missed his three-year-old child very, very bad. Holidays were the worst. We were gone for the holidays. He would just cry and grieve for the child, and my heart went out to him, and it also went out to him because he was suffering from a possible failed marriage, and he was contemplating going through with the divorce or not. So the Lord spoke to me that night that I spoke to him and passed on 1 Peter 5:6.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
So I don't know if he was a Christian man or not, but he did thank me for that. I didn't see him to hand it to him in person, but I was back in my room, and I was fumbling through my Bible, like, Lord, give me a verse for him. He needs one really bad. And, you know, it took a good 45 minutes of me just fumbling through and reading, saying, no, that's not appropriate. No, that's no. For the Lord to find that page for me, 1 Peter 5:6, and I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. And I even prayed for him to tell me, hurry up and tell me, Lord, because he's probably going to bed right now. So what I did was I wrote it on a little card and just put, you know, after we spoke, the Lord pointed me to this verse for you, and I just wanted to share it. And I stuck it on his little whiteboard on his door. He thanked me the next day, and I talked to him about going to Weekend to Remember, and he thought, oh, that's a great idea. But when he got back, unfortunately, he said he was going to have to be filing for divorce as well. Other things had come up from that. So another seed planted. Hopefully he'll keep that with him. There was a female there that was kind of an outcast. She was uncomfortable in her own skin, and you can see it. People picked on her and teased her, and I just befriended her. And you come to find out she was a Christian in the past, but she didn't see any outcome of it. You know, nothing. This, I'm not benefiting from this, so why do I bother? We had a few pep talks, and I think she was feeling a lot better when she left. Hopefully, you know, me being her friend would show her that not all Christians are hypocrites and liars and things like that she had experienced. One more, and I'm sorry, I'm done. My brother was on my heart a lot while I was deployed. He came to me drunk, unfortunately, one night on the phone, called and said, you know, just rambling on and on and on as drunk people do. And he come out with he didn't believe in God. And we grew up in the church, so it was kind of a shock to me. And I thought, oh, you're just joking, you're just joking. And he wasn't joking. Some family members, I guess, kind of forced it down his throat. And he kind of more so put his hands up and said, I don't believe in this because of the way you're acting. And so I just got on email one day and said, hey, Phil, what's the status of this? Do you still not believe in God, or were you just playing around? And he goes, no, I believe what I believe, and I respect the fact that you believe what you believe. And I said, okay, well, let me just leave you with these items. So I wrote, I said, you know, in order to be saved and become a Christian, if you ever change your mind, one, you have to believe in God. Two, you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And three, you got to believe that they work together for you, and you have to change your life to be like Jesus in order to do this. And if you do that, all you got to do is say it out loud and admit it and confess it and repent. And I just, you know, I had like five little bullets that he had to do. And he said, I respect it. Thank you for caring about me. And he moved on. About a week later, I was reading my Bible, and I found a verse, and it like totally made me cry. But it showed me that the Lord was working through me that night too. So, Tim, if you could read that one.
Sure. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Now that last verse, I'm sorry I didn't read it, was John 14:8-14. Verse 14 was, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. That was my bullet number 5 for my brother to remember. And this was Jesus speaking to Philip, and my brother's name is Philip. So I thought, oh Lord, he was really talking to me that day. But other than that, I think we're good. I had a very passionate 4 months, and you know, trying to continue that as well with our busy life here. Trying to continue, and I don't know. Anything else? Our 10 minutes is up. Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Praise the Lord. Hello. Did you guys shut me off back there? Hello? Okay. Thanks, Tim and Rebecca. The next person I'd like to have come up is Senior Master Sergeant retired Rick Partridge from the Air Force.
Thank you. My wife Dora and I spent about 20 years, actually a little over 20 years in the Air Force. And our son, who's back here right now, has been in the Army for 2.5 years. He's getting ready to deploy to Iraq in the next few weeks. So we have a slightly unique outlook on Independence Day, as it comes from the military sometimes. But we celebrate Independence Day, and that celebration means recognizing the freedom that this nation won from tyranny. It means fireworks to commemorate the battles that were won in that fight for freedom. And we associate that day also with Francis Scott Key's poem, The Star-Spangled Banner, and how that flag remained throughout the battle to reign victorious for many, many years. It all began with some pilgrims that fled Great Britain for the New World. They wanted freedom to live as they chose and to worship God as they chose. And they got that when they landed here in 1620. About 156 years later, the 13 colonies that had grown were again subjected to tyranny from the crown. They didn't flee the British this time, but they stood up to them and fought for and won the freedom and the independence they believed that was theirs from God. And to this day, that independence stands, and with it, the freedom many have fought and died for to maintain. Freedom they believed was God-given freedom. They fought and died to do that so this nation could remain free, and so it could also remain a haven for those seeking freedom and prosperity from many other nations in the world. For over 200 years, God has used our military to defend not only our freedom, but the freedom and independence of many other suppressed nations and peoples. We've enjoyed a period of peace now in this country for about 56 years. No nation has attacked our shores, and that began with the close of World War II and lasted until September 11th, 2001. Now we're in a fight for freedom again. Freedom from terrorists that would destroy our way of life simply because we stood up for those stepped on by their own. This global war on terrorism is a new type of war. It's not like past wars. There's no defined battlefields. There's no distinctive enemy uniform. And there's no specific nation state we're fighting against. Our enemy is more like a criminal now. Warfare is more urban. It requires soldiers to fight in new ways, and they're trained in these new ways now. They're more like a SWAT team busting down doors, going after drug dealers than they are an army. They bust down doors with little or no confirmation of the hazards they face on the other side of those doors. And they do it because they're proud to be fighting for the freedom of this nation and the nations of others. Freedom, they believe, is God-given freedom. They're fighting for us, and we are under attack again, and the war goes far beyond Iraq. So please support our soldiers, the airmen, the Marines, the Coast Guardsmen, and the sailors in this war on global terrorism. Keep them in your prayers and ask God to guide them and their leaders in all they do. They're fighting for our God-given independence again. Thank you.
Hello. All right. And finally, I would like to introduce to you Sergeant First Class Stephen Cole. He flew in from Saudi Arabia to be with us this weekend.
First of all, I'd like to say, do a add-on for the missions report. actually, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia paid for me to come here. I just want to let everybody know that. It wasn't our government dollars. It was theirs. So thank the king if you see him. Okay. But, yeah. All right. He and I were tight. But but anyway, what I wanted to talk about today was kind of what's been the common thread throughout this morning. It's we really have to understand what we have in our country so that we don't lose it. Because we have such a greatly blessed nation. And unfortunately, it's kind of like a spoiled kid. You don't know what you got till you don't got it. And what I would recommend, and this is a plug for missions, if you've never left our borders, do a missions trip. Go to another country. See what they don't have and what we do have. And then to continue with this, this is actually going to be much shorter than I normally am. But what we have to do is it's kind of a multi-pronged attack, using a military term. We have to, first of all, defend what we have. And the way that we do that, it's very, very simple. It's spelled out in the Bible. We need to pray. We need to pray for our leadership. We need to pray for salvation. We need to pray that our nation will stay on course. The next thing we have to do, this is kind of an exhortation. Next thing we have to do is we have to tell people, not just by speaking it, because though words are necessary, our actions are far more powerful. We need to go out and we need to show people the love of Christ. That's really the bottom line. The next thing that we have to do is, and this goes right along with the missions, and it can be missions in your backyard, it can be missions in Saudi Arabia. You have to be prepared to go. It's just like in the military. It's like you may be in a unit that never ever deploys, but it doesn't mean that you're not prepared to deploy. And on the note on Saudi Arabia and the missions report, it is probably one of the most oppressive nations, or kingdoms is what they prefer to be called, against Christianity. We're told, at least weekly, that we are not to involve ourselves in off-post activities. Because we could, even being in the military or the civilian workers, you know, with the U.S. government, you can be imprisoned, you can be beaten. It's very, very real. So be very, very thankful for what we have in this nation. But I can't emphasize enough, sometimes you really have to stand up for what we have here. Because if you don't, we won't keep it. Okay, that's it.
Thank you.
That was something how all three complimented each other. Amen. Sitting and listening to Rebecca, I was so blessed because she had a spirit of a witness about her. And did you notice the varied backgrounds whom she really gave herself to seek to give them scripture and an answer for humanity? We all should be that way. We should all endeavor to speak into people's lives. As she was sharing, Rebecca, it kind of reminded me of what the Lord had shared with me. How many of you heard the term, the harvest is truly ripened to be plucked? Well, see, the background of every one of those people that she was ministering to, that is what we call a ripe harvest. Those people need something in their life. And I guarantee you, Rebecca, it'll all come back to you on every one of those you ministered to in a blessing. You know, I just thinking about all the movie stars that we've lost here recently. Isn't that sad? You know, because as long as they were alive in the body, the flesh, their eternal destiny was not etched forever. Amen. And I know for a fact in my heart, my spirit, every one of them people had somebody like Rebecca come into their life and give them the gospel. I believe that with my whole heart, don't you? And the gospel is being preached on television, whether we prefer the programs or not, but the gospel is being preached. Paul said, you know, to some preach it out of contentions, others out of advantage. He said, but nevertheless, Christ is being preached. Amen. And so I'm really proud of all three of you coming up here and sharing your hearts. And I think that's tremendous. We have wonderful people in our body. It'd be cool if we had a service long enough to hear you all. You know, one thing that the Bible is very clear, and I've lost people in making this statement, but we are called to defend our country. Whether people believe in taking a life or not, I believe that sometimes it's necessary. None of us like taking a life, you know. But the Bible is very clear, especially in the Greek, that there's a difference between murdering somebody and killing someone. And believe it or not, God in the Old Testament had to use death so that life could go on. Well, it's the same thing today, except today it's getting worse. Not the purpose to have to kill, but murder. And it's so sad. But I believe that we're going to be free of the world of death very soon, don't you? Praise God. Everybody stand up. Have to get a drink here. Let's lift up our firefighters, policemen, all those that are in service, even for our state as well as our country. Let's pray for them together as a body. Amen. Our military, everyone that's in active service. Father, I thank you for these men and women who serve our country, whether it's local or abroad. And Father, we know that as the time draws closer and closer to your return for the church, the things get worse and worse. Father, we pray for more Rebeccas, more Ricks and Steve rise up and witness and be a witness to a dying world before your return. Father, we love you and appreciate you, and we love and appreciate how you do care about those who serve our local country, our local state, as well as the United States. So watch over them, Father, and may you preserve them for eternal life. Father, may someone reach them and give them the gospel. If they're ripe for the harvest of the kingdom of God, Father, may a soul reach to them that is blood-bought, born again and spirit-filled, and may they witness and be a witness with fervency in their heart towards them. And Father, we look forward to that. And Father, also those who have come into the kingdom of God as well, Father, may you strengthen them to put off the works of darkness and put on that which is called light. And may they be successful in their walk before you. For Father, not only is it important for a dying world, but it also is important for eternity. So, Father, we ask that you watch over them, even in the armed services and serving abroad, Father. Comfort them and make sure that you lead someone to them. And if they're not saved, they're not born again, or they've been out of fellowship for God, send someone that is on fire for you, that has remained in communion, to reach them with truth, to reach them with Scripture, just like Rebecca, Father. We look forward to seeing a future with as many people brought into the kingdom as possible from this dark fallen world. And so, Father, protect and watch over all of them in service, and see to it that before they return back to the ground or dust, Father, that their eternal destiny will have been laid out clear for them to make the choice for themselves and not die in deception, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, now as we close this service, we'll stand up here and we'll pray for those that maybe this morning you've come to church and you've never really given your heart and life to Jesus and you would like to do that. We would love to pray with you. We would love to confirm your salvation. If you're also there and you've given your heart to the Lord a long time ago and you were invited to church this morning and you'd like to reaffirm your walk with Him, feel free to do that as well. And if you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you need that baptism because that's where your power comes from. Amen. And so if you'd like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'd love to pray for you to receive that. And if you have a physical illness in your body, and it just seems like no one can do you any help at all, we have people that can pray for you and command that affliction in your body to remove itself in Jesus' name. We already had a wonderful miracle from a lady we prayed for that was moving into Alzheimer's. Got a miracle in her healing of the mind. It was a neighbor of Daisy. And so we don't believe God's limited. Amen. Hallelujah. He just needs vessels to flow through. So if you'd like hands laid on you in prayer, we would just love to do that for you. Father, as we close this service, those that need prayer and what I've asked for, Father, may they respond and may they be blessed in Jesus' name. And may everybody have a wonderful day today. Amen. With that, you're dismissed.